Welcome to the BS Show. Are you ready to shoot the... The BS Show would like to thank their sponsors. Jack Cameron, accredited mortgage professional. Jack can show you the way home. Graco Impact Sports, providing top quality combat sport equipment tested and used by all levels of athletes. Dominate your world. Reposales.ca, specializing in vehicle and equipment recovery, liquidation, and sales. Hemmings House Pictures, the global movement media makers, helping tell your brand story to the world and accelerate the momentum of your movement. Farm Box Films, capturing stories the way you want to remember them.
Greetings, fellow humans. Welcome again to the BS Show, Atlantic Canada's one and only podcast dedicated to mixed martial arts and combat sports in the region. I am your host, Boyd Sharp. Tonight, I do not have in the wings Mr. Rick Trash Canyon Doyle. However, I do have Atlantic Canadian fighter and maker of one mean brunch, so I hear, Mr. Joshua Walker. How are you doing tonight, Josh?
I'm doing great, Boyd. Thanks for having me on. It's
awesome.
Looking forward to tonight.
Thanks for joining me, man. I know in your last fight, sustained a pretty serious injury. Was it in the second round, and what was it exactly that happened?
No, it was actually probably smack in the middle of the first round, and I broke my fibula. I shouldn't say I broke my fibula. Brian Johnson broke my fibula.
Yes, give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, and I continued the fight and ended up winning right with I think it was maybe 5 seconds left in the first round. And, yeah, so I got some time off of fight camps for the last couple of months here.
Good for you. You've been working on paying some bills, I guess, and I hear you're in Toronto right now doing some construction work and going to be back home, I guess, in the fall. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I run a company with my dad, and we're doing a bunch of work on the Pan American Games Center here. So I actually got an invite from Lyndon Whitlock to head down to Parabellum, so I'll check that out here this week and hopefully be back in the next couple of weeks and start a camp again.
Super, fantastic. Yeah, that was a super exciting fight that you had. Obviously, it was an exciting fight even before you broke your leg, but then I guess – you may not have known the full extent of the injury, but something took over and you were able to get a quick finish, and we were all super stoked for you. It was a great night. Tonight is going to be an awesome night. We're going to be banging off interviews rapidly in short order here because we have ECC 21 coming up on July 26th in Halifax. The venue has been moved from the Forum to the Olympia Hall, and if I'm not mistaken, the last time Lyndon Whitlock fought in Halifax, he fought at the Olympia Hall, and he had a hell of a scrap with Gavin Tucker. So he's going to be coming back into some familiar territory. But in a little bit, we're going to have on promoter for ECC, Peter Martel. We're going to have top Canadian prospect at 135, Michael Spenline, who's fighting Lyndon Whitlock. We are going to be joined by Mr. Rick Trash Canyon Doyle, but Skippy, you'll be very happy to know, he won't be joining us as host of the BS Show. He will be joining us as professional fighter, now officially on ECC 21 card, fighting Mr. Jeff Black. So we're super excited to have a quick chat with Rick, so see how his fight camp is going and see how he's feeling going into this third professional fight. We're also going to be joined, Josh, by a guy you know pretty well, a man that Mike Malott referred to as the number one one-on-one fighter in Canada, Mr. Pat Carroll. So super excited to talk to Pat. I haven't seen him in quite a while. It's going to be cool to catch up with him and see how he's feeling going into what is his third professional mixed martial arts fight as well. And then to round out the hour, we're going to be joined by Lyndon Whitlock. As I said, fought Gavin Tucker the last time he was in Halifax, and a tough opponent coming up again tonight against Michael Spenline. Skippy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, brother. Josh, I want to welcome you to the BS Show and to the Madhouse Production Networks, a radio family hosting a show with Boyd. He's very, very well-liked around the world. A lot of fans love this show, and you know us. I said it earlier. I'll say it for all the fans out there. Madhouse Global Combat Network. It's our newest adventure. We bought Rear Naked Smoke and their archives of thousands of tens of thousands of fight videos from around the world. And we're going to be offering this service completely free to anybody who wants to help get their product, fight videos, streams, iPay-per-view are free as long as it's legal. We're going to help you guys get it promoted and get it out there. Any event in the world. So that, you know, Madhouse always making that next step to help support local MMA and expose it at a bigger level.
That's super stuff, Skippy. We're going to be definitely following up with you because there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on that people just don't have an opportunity to see. And this new project that you guys are embarking on is just going to make that available to such a wider audience. And we'll do whatever we can to get what's happening here on the East Coast out to you guys so you can follow what's happening down here. Because, Josh, you can talk about this probably better than I can, but in the 135, 145-pound divisions, say from Ontario East, it's amazing what we're getting an opportunity to watch both in Ontario and here in the East Coast, isn't it, Josh?
Oh, it's huge. The talent is huge, and it's a scary division to be a part of, I guess, in a way. It's exciting, too. So, but the level of talent is just insane. The number of top guys that are coming out from this tiny part of the country is just staggering.
It is, and Rick says all the time, there must be something in the water because, I mean, we only have one promotion here in Atlantic Canada right now, which is ECC, and what that means is every time that there's a fight card taking place, we get to see just absolutely phenomenal matchups. Obviously, there will be amateur fights. Obviously, there'll be first-time fighters that nobody knows much about unless you really follow the local gyms. But then you'll get situations like right now, Top MMA News has the top scraps for the month of July listed on their website. Number two, Chris Kalides versus Adrian Woolley. We had both those guys on the show last week. They're fighting on the 26th. Number one matchup, Lyndon Whitlock versus Michael Spenline. We have both those guys on the show tonight, and they'll be fighting on July 26th as well. I mean, that's just absolutely phenomenal shit when you live in a small city like Halifax to be able to get national caliber fighters meeting basically at the same point in their career as they try to climb up the ladder. What do you think is the most excited you are for a fight on the 26th, Josh?
Like which fight am I most excited to see?
Yeah.
That probably the headliner, I think, Whitlock's Spanline. I'd like to see how that's going to sort itself out. And that's probably just selfish because it's the division that I'm trying to get into. So anytime yeah. There's top, you know, the top level guys that are in my division, I want to see how they're doing and what they're doing and where they're going to match up.
That's how I know you are a legit competitor with your head in the right place. You're really thinking about who you're going to maybe get a chance to fight.
Yeah, so I'm like, it's kind of exactly right. Like, which one of these guys, which one of them will be first kind of thing. So,
yeah, and I've thought about this a lot because I think the Chris Kalides-Adrian Woolley fight on paper, if you take both guys' records, what they've done, where they are, maybe I would have thought that was going to be the headliner fight on this card. But Lyndon and Michael both coming off of wins. Michael, undefeated, and for whatever reason, whether it's his style, whether it's his quick finishes on his submissions, just has so much attention right now. I can see why that's the headliner fight on this card. And either way, it's going to be fantastic.
And I think that's kind of been the theme for the last quite a few ECCs. It's been focused on these guys in this weight class, whereas Kalides and Woolley, they haven't generated the following in Halifax yet, right? Like Kalides had the one fight with Rick, but that division and those guys haven't they're not really what's been trending, I guess. So
yeah, I agree.
These guys at 135, it's been, you know, with like Connor and myself in January, then Connor and Whitlock, and then Spanline's been just tearing through people that whole time. So this division's just hot right now, I think.
Who's the 135 champion for ECC right now? Is it Sid Barnier?
Yes, yeah, it's Barnier. And he's quite the fighter, so.
He is quite the fighter. As a matter of fact, when Lyndon Whitlock fought Gavin Tucker, which would have been at 145 at ECC, I don't even remember what that was now. I'm pretty sure that 15. Bernier fought 15. Bernier fought is it Peltier? On that card as well. It was an absolutely incredible scrap. It's going to be interesting to see if ECC matchmakers turn the winner of Spenline and Whitlock into a immediate title match, because that would be pretty damn exciting as well.
Well, I guess we could ask a few questions tonight, maybe.
We should. Skippy, do we have Peter Martel on the line right now? Skippy is napping.
He is taking a nap, yeah.
Oh, actually, he is sending me a message on Facebook, and it says Peter is not answering his phone. So, we're stuck to break down the card. We're stuck to break down the card on our own. Just one second here. He said he's trying him again. I'm just going to make sure he has the number right.
Okay. Yeah, actually, I think that was ECC 14. I remember watching the Tucker and Linden fight and the Barnier fight. Were you there yourself, boy?
I was. I didn't make too much of an impression, apparently, because Steve Goodfellow and I did exhibition Muay Thai that night.
Oh, man, I don't know how I could possibly forget that. I was already slated to fight Steve, and I remember sitting there watching you guys' kickboxing fight, like, fairly intently. I was also cornering Cody Cron when he fought Mike Kent that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've been all over.
Yeah, you have been all over. Well, while we have a moment, and Skippy's trying to track down Peter, I will ask you, when you trained or when you lived out west, where did you do most of your training when you were out there?
I started this little tiny gym called Dragon MMA, which doesn't even exist anymore, when I was living in Edmonton. And then everywhere else was kind of just like pop-ins, you know, because I moved around a lot. So when I was down in Calgary, I'd pop in at BDB, which is now called Champions Creed. And we'd make road trips down to the CCMH, which is like Lee Main, like Jordan Main's gym in Lethbridge. And when I was on the island, I was training at a place called Island MMA. I dropped in at Zugek, which is where Sarah Kaufman trains.
Really?
But it was all,
man, I absolutely
yeah, it was all
love
kind of just
Sarah
popping
Kaufman.
In. It wasn't super committed except for when I was in Edmonton. And then obviously once I moved out east, I really got into it quite heavily again.
Just one second here. I'm trying to send a text to Peter.
Yeah.
The joys of live programming. Cool. We might have to get him to move on to our next guest, and we'll connect with Peter in a little bit.
Sure.
Hello.
Hey, Boyd. I've called. Hey, Boyd, I've called three times. It just rings. I'm not getting any answer. I could try to, you know, again. Just let me know.
Yeah, give him a try. I just texted him. Well, I'm not sure. You can bring on the next guest.
Okay, I'll go get him right now.
Awesome. Thanks, brother.
Who's next? Who we got?
Let's see. Who do we have next? If we can't get Mr. Peter Martel, we're actually going to get Michael Spenline on the line. We've had Michael on the show a couple of times now, and I was really hoping. Oh, here's Peter Martel saying right now. He's saying, okay. Give me 2 seconds here.
Sure. Yeah, I think actually Michael and I were on the same show after the last event there.
Oh, cool. Okay. Hopefully he's getting Peter now. You texted me earlier, Josh, and wanted to know if I had the full fight card, and I did get the full fight card from Peter today. And one intriguing thing that I noticed is Akitoshi Haraba, you know, and who has had two just outstanding performances on recent ECC cards, is slated to fight Eric Norris. If I'm not mistaken. Didn't he fight Ian Norris, who's the brother of Eric Norris, in his last outing at ECC?
Was it Ian Norris? I know Ian Norris
yes.
on the card. I can't. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, is this like a brother revenge type deal? I might be completely out in left field on this, but I thought for sure that those Norris guys were brothers. Okay, we're gonna. I know Peter.
The North guys are brothers.
What's that? They
so
are
the
killers.
The North guys are brothers. Yeah.
And they are brothers. Oh yeah, and they are killers too. I mean, those guys really, really, really want to fight. There's absolutely no doubt about it. It's going to be super exciting to see what happens for those guys on the local scene over the next year or so. We do have Michael Spinline in the queue right now, so we'll bring him in, and Skippy can try to connect with Peter in just a little bit. Michael, if you are unmuted, how are you doing in Cape Breton this evening?
Oh, it's going great here. How about you?
It's going well here in Halifax, and Josh Walker is joining us from good old Toronto.
How's it going,
Josh? Michael?
Oh, pretty good.
So, Michael, we're coming up on July 26th, and we've had you on the show a couple of times, and people are more than welcome to go back through those shows and find out a little bit about your story. But I'm interested to find out a little bit about what's going on with you the past number of weeks and how you feel going into this fight with Lyndon Whitlock.
Yeah, the date's creeping up pretty fast. July 26th is only about 2.5, almost 3 weeks away, and training's going great. Like, there was a delay on the show. It was supposed to be June 21st, and I was training hard for that. And when it got pushed back, I just got right back in there and trained another 8 weeks, well, five so far, and three more until the fight. It's been going great. I find in every training camp, it's like slow and steady, and then toward the end of it, you start hitting the things that you want to hit, and things start falling together. And I really feel like everything's coming together for this fight, and I'm really excited for it.
Was this the first time that you had a fight lined up and then it got pushed?
No, actually, it's happened a few times, like with amateur and stuff. And my pro debut, actually, I was supposed to fight on when I was 18. I had like the medical sent in and everything, and then they found out I was 18, and it even said on the medicals and the licensing and stuff. But I guess we didn't know you had to be 19. We thought 18 was the age. So then they found out, and I pushed it back another 6 months until I actually turned 19. So I haven't had a lot of pushbacks, but I kind of enjoyed it. It just gave me more time to prepare.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you don't seem to be a guy that gets real antsy or nervous or anything. So an extra 8 weeks to you is 8 weeks to get better, 8 weeks to game plan, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting better every day in training, and my team's getting better every day in training, so the extra time is perfect for me. It gives me more time to evolve as a fighter.
Josh, do you want to jump in with a question or two for Michael before I jump back with
him? Yeah, I guess. So is your camp, have you done anything different this camp? Or are you sticking mostly in Cape Breton? Have you come down to Fit Plus? Or as you prepare for, I think Whitlock's going to be your biggest test that you've had so far. Have you done anything more, anything different for this one, or you just kept on going?
Well, yeah, we have been down to Fit Plus. We went down and did some wrestling and sparring with the guys, and it was a good experience getting in there with guys that have been against Lyndon in the past and other guys around my weight class that have already made a name for themselves. So that was a really good experience. And my training, like, we have a few things that we've been working on a lot more and kind of changing up, but the main thing for me is just becoming the most well-rounded I can be and making my skills sharper and faster for fight night. And that's what we've been working on. Speed, power, everything. And it's coming together well for this fight.
Yeah, I guess just round it up. I've noticed you bulked up a bit. Have you bulked up over the last couple of years? I remember seeing you probably at might have been your first pro fight. And then seeing you last couple of fights, athletically you've really improved.
Yeah, I changed a lot in my training back then, because my first pro fight, I didn't really even cut weight. It was like more of a diet thing, and I was walking around at like probably 140-ish, so I was really, really small for 135, but there wasn't really 125ers around at that time. So we were fighting at 135, and all my amateurs too were 135, so I feel like I'm growing into this weight class. Like, even my first amateur fight, I was walking around at, 133 and fighting at 135. So I have been putting on weight as the training goes on and as time goes on. And I feel like I'm really growing into this weight class.
I'm not going to ask you to give too much away about your game plan, but I did notice in your comments you made a few minutes ago that you were working on speed and you were working on power, and those aren't two words that people generally apply to jiu-jitsu technique. So I'm assuming that considering you're fighting Lyndon, who's Iron Tiger Muay Thai and does have a reputation for being a very powerful and fast striker, that you really have put a concerted effort into your striking for this fight. Is that correct? And I'll follow it up with a follow-up question is sort of what have you guys done to make sure that that part of your game is as sharp as it can be going into this fight?
Yeah, well, we've always been training the wrestling, striking, jiu-jitsu, every part of MMA, really. But I just haven't really had the chance to show it in any of my fights. I actually started as a striker, so we've always been working on those skills. And I do feel like him coming down from 145 and me kind of being a smaller, not necessarily smaller 135, but I'm not a giant for the weight class. I feel like my speed is definitely going to play into this fight. And, I'm ready for wherever the fight goes. Like, one of my mentors, Chris Connors, he tells me I got to float like a kettlebell, sting like a pool noodle, and that's the game plan for the fight.
You're not going to sell many T-shirts with that on it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I guess not.
And I'm asking you this question on behalf of Rick Doyle. Rick is not joining us tonight as a host of the BS show because Rick's actually fighting on this card with you. And we're going to have him on for a very quick chat a little later. I'm super, super excited, actually, about the opportunity that he has to fight again. I know he's super stoked and looking forward to it. And if he was here, he would want to know, do you have the hat yet?
Well, maybe we could decide now, because I do have three in stock that I've been kind of thinking about. Like, I think it was last summer I was going to fight, and I ran out of hats, and I had to look everywhere just to find them. So when I did, I actually stocked up on them so that wouldn't happen again. So I have three waiting to
brother,
come out of.
Put them out there. Put them out there, and we'll have a vote. We'll put it out on the BS Show website. We'll promote it, and we'll get some voting out there tonight.
All right, well, I got three. The first, I've got a fox, which is a nice hat, the tiger, which would be pretty cool, and the last one's the skunk.
Oh.
Hey, Michael.
Definitely not the tiger, brother. Sorry, Skippy,
no.
Jump in there.
Hey, I was going to say, look, do the contest for the fans to pick the hat. When you're done with your fight after that hand gets raised in the middle of the cage, you should sign it and do a secondary contest to help build up social media followers for you.
That sounds like a great idea.
All the ideas.
I'm definitely going to do it.
Brilliant idea. And, Michael, I don't know if you had a chance to check out the beginning of the show, but very exciting news. The guys here at MMA Madhouse just bought an absolutely massive website that streams global MMA video, events, promotional video, everything MMA-related that's non-UFC from all over the world, probably like 1 million views a month. And if we can do together a little video, they'll put that on there and draw some attention to what you're doing as well.
Yep.
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well, Michael, sorry, jump in, Skip.
I was just going to say, yeah, just, you know, if you want to grab your cell phone, cut like a minute or two, like promo, hey, I'm doing this for the fans, pick the hat, get it to me. We'll get it up. We'll get it shared on all of our websites that we own, the Combat Global Network that we own now, and through all our social media pages for you as well, brother.
I can do that for sure.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for joining us, Michael. We're going to bang through a bunch of interviews tonight, so it won't be the leisurely chat that we normally have. But good luck to you, and really look forward to the next steps in your career, man. It's going to be an awesome opportunity you have coming up, and absolute best of luck.
Thank you very much, boys.
Say hi to Kent. I'm going to be passing through town on the 11th of July, and I'm going to do everything I can to get the kids fed and rested before we get on the ferry to Newfoundland and see if I can't swing by the gym for a bit.
All right, that'd be perfect. Hopefully see you soon.
Awesome. Take care.
You too.
Super duper. I'm with you, Josh. Whether or not I'm fighting at a 135 weight class or not, I am definitely intrigued with seeing what happens with that kid next. Every fight that comes up for Michael, we always say, he's done okay as an amateur. Let's see how he does as a pro. Yeah, he did okay as a pro. Let's see how he does against Mancini. Oh, he beats Mancini easily. Oh, let's see how he does against a real good striker like Morgan Rimes. He wins that fight pretty easily. I'm super excited to see what he's going to do against somebody like Lyndon Whitlock.
Yeah, me too. He just keeps surprising people, so that he's tough and he's fast on his back. It's an interesting little matchup. I'm excited to see how he does.
Yeah, absolutely. Skippy, I don't know if you have Peter unmuted, but Peter, if you're there, I'm dying for you to chime in because we've been talking about how we have a fantastic opportunity coming up on July 21st. We have two of Canada's top matchups for the month taking place at ECC 21. Must be pretty cool for you to have that pulled together.
Yeah, we were really excited to get those two matchups. I think July 26th, that's when the fight is. We've got Spienlein and Whitlock is just going to be, I'm on the edge of my seat for that one. Like a lot of people, when Spienlein said, I'll fight Mancini, we're like, oh, jeez, boy, and, made quick work of him. And then we're like, oh, well, Morgan Rimes is a tough guy. See what he does there, and Morgan's tough, great takedowns, great striking, and made quick work of him. So if Spienlein hasn't made believers out of everybody by now, if he beats Whitlock, he's one of the best, most complete fighters I've seen in a long time. I got to give that guy a lot of credit. Spienlein is going to be.
Yeah, especially for the stage of his career that he's in, because he's such a young guy, and Lyndon Whitlock was a force to be reckoned with.
There was no warm up period. He just went right at us, right at the tough guys.
Yeah, Lyndon Whitlock was a force to be reckoned with at 145. He gave Gavin Tucker probably one of the biggest tests of his entire career thus far, and everybody knows what Gavin Tucker can do. And for him now to be down at 45, making that weight pretty easily, winning his last fight, if Michael has a chance against Lyndon, then, eyes are all going to be on him across the entire country and probably even further.
Absolutely. If he beats Lyndon, he's going to be one of the top guys in the country at that weight class. And kind of things with ladies and Wooly. again, that's another toss-up. Calades has a great record, well-rounded fighter, and I just saw Wooly's fight in Substance Cage Combat, Neil Forster's promotion in Toronto, and Wooly is one tough son of a bitch. Man, oh man.
Yeah, I'll quote my normal partner in crime, Rick Doyle, by saying, you look at or read anything about Adrian Wooly, and the only word that comes to mind is beast.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That fight, I couldn't believe, he survived probably one of the worst situations I've ever seen in the first round to come back and take that fight. And that's just, heart, beast.
You can't easily teach that. Somebody has that in them or has it conditioned into them, trained into them. But, that's the kind of thing that once you have that, then you know that nobody is going to beat you easily. To take nothing away from Chris Kalides, Chris took his last fight on no training camp. And he did absolutely phenomenally going the full distance with just a young stud who's going to be probably one of the top in the country in that weight class in Malcolm Gordon.
Yeah, I was talking to Scott McLean, his trainer, about that. And Scott said he almost pulled out a heel hook. It was close, a nice close fight, tough fight. And again, short notice, no training camp. Maybe with a good training camp, some notice that fight goes the other way. So
certainly, you know, those two fights, we knew they were going to be a couple of top fights in the country. And, you know, we're, I don't know if I can mention now going down the road, but we're looking at our next card, and we're a little excited about that because these fights were I've been putting on and kind of building toward this next next card to see who the best 135er in the country is. And I don't know if anybody's been talking to you about it, but we I've been working on this for a while, and I believe I've got an eight-man tournament cleared by the commission for our next card.
Whoa. Wait a minute, you mean one night tournament?
One night, old school UFC, eight-man enter, one-man leaves. So you
win three fights. Hold on. I got to jump in here. First of all, I love it. That is great. But my question is, are they going to be one round, three round for the finals? Three round, three round, three rounds? How's that going to work?
Three round, three round, three round. And, I mean, we've already been talking to some of the top guys. And there's a lot of interest in, I mean, we've been talking to guys like, you know, Kalades and Connors, and, you know, hopefully we're going to get Woolley and Rhines and Speenline, and who knows, maybe, you know, there's some guys across the country who may want to improve their record by three fights in one night.
Hey, Josh Walker, how's your leg feeling?
Pretty solid nowadays, actually.
I think.
Well, Peter, that's a shocker. That's a shocker, my man. I've said to you before. I personally am not a fan of the tournament MMA paradigm because I came into it as a fan after that. So that's something that's pretty foreign to me. But it certainly is intriguing, and I know enough about the hardcore fans that, man, dudes will be lining up to get their hands on that if it does happen.
No, absolutely. I mean, we've passed the hurdles with the commission. It looks like we're going to have it. And, I mean, now it's a whole other, you know, I guess, dimension when it comes to MMA, because now you have to be a smart fighter. You can't go in there and be a mindless brute. You've got to win without taking damage. You can't smash your hands up. You can't, you know, you can't take a bite. You can't get cut. You got to be able to win, you know, hopefully quickly, or at least, you know, without tiring yourself out too much. Or I mean, it's just now it's going to be who's durable, who's intelligent. You know, do the submission guys have the big advantage? You know, it's going to be so exciting.
It's intriguing. You've totally taken me off my game. I have absolutely no idea what in the hell I was supposed to talk to you about next because this is just totally shocking.
My apologies. I wasn't going to mention it, but, you know, I'm having a hard time containing my excitement about it.
Okay, well, I tell you what. Skippy made an announcement earlier that actually shocked me almost as much, so let's pair the two of them up here and see what we can do. MMA Madhouse just bought what used to be called Rear Naked Smoke, and Skippy, you have now renamed it what, sorry?
The Madhouse Global Combat Network, because we're going to cover everything, grappling, kickboxing, judo. We just ran the Genghis Kong Judo Super Grand Prix, all 18 hours live this weekend. So every sport that's combat or grappling related.
So, Peter, this is a video streaming site that has hooks into basically millions of fans that are out there. You host the content wherever you want, and you monetize it however you want, whether it's YouTube or whatever other service you use for getting revenue through it, and these guys will put it in front of the audience who's out there for it. Something with, forgive the word, gimmick as an old-school eight-man tournament would blow the hell up if they put it out through the website. So you need to get on the phone with Skippy and those guys in the next couple of days and see if you can't work that out.
Yeah, I think that this is going to bring a lot of old-school fans who maybe have lost touch. You know, sometimes when you get new fighters coming along, some of the old-school fans don't get to know them as well. Maybe they don't get the coverage, the exposure to bring them into the fold. And I really think this is going to give these new fighters you know, an opportunity to gain some old fans as well as some new ones. I mean, I think we're going to have a settled crowd, and getting it exposed on a website like that would, you know, not only is it going to be great for our fights, it's going to be great for these fighters.
Yeah,
whoever
absolutely.
Wins that with that kind of exposure, you know, they're going to be they're going to be well known.
Yeah, that's what they refer to as a meal ticket.
I think so. You know, maybe Dana White will be thinking, geez, we've got another Hoyce Gracie in our hands. Maybe it's Mean Line submitting everybody.
Exactly. Cool. Okay, well, let's definitely talk about that down the road. Peter, what's the earliest that kind of a card would come together? I mean, are you talking October? Are you talking Christmas?
It'll be this year, so I'm talking, you know, I'm trying to decide with the UFC in Halifax, on October 4th, it's kind of, you know, I'm trying to decide when to put this card on. So I'm thinking that I may do it a few weeks after the UFC. And, I mean, I'm going to have 10,000 fans in town I can advertise to. So probably late October,
nice.
Something like that, first week of November.
That sounds awesome. Okay, let's bring it back to ECC 21 for just a moment before we get you out of here. We talked about our two headlining fights. Tease us out with a couple more fighters that you have on this card that we should be keeping an eye out for, or a couple of matchups that you personally are interested in.
Well, you know, I'm really interested to see Pat Carroll back in the cage. Pat Carroll is a phenomenal fighter, just great instincts, good athlete. And he is his record doesn't do him justice. He's 1-1. Fought his first fight was a tough loss and a controversial loss in my opinion. He had his opponent. Some of you may know him. He was on the Ultimate Fighter, Matt DeRoche, up against the cage and in a lot of trouble when the door popped open to the cage. The officials hadn't closed the door properly. And so they struggled with the door, and in some, you know, 45 seconds, a minute later, they got the door closed, and the fight resumed. And then Matt turned the tide. I mean, Matt's got heavy, heavy hands. He caught Pat with one of those hard righty throws, and, you know, the tide turned, and Matt won the fight. You know, if that door hadn't opened, who knows how that fight had gone.
And I might add, the fight was stopped with Pat still on his feet, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes. And you know, I'm not going to complain with that stoppage. Pat was in trouble, and Matt was hitting him with heavy shots. You know, and I mean, I've seen Matt DeRoche punch, and he hits like a truck. You know, and Pat's got a good chin on him. I think, I don't know too many people who would still be standing after the shots he took from DeRoche. But, you know, I'm you're going to see good things coming from Pat Carroll. You know, he's fighting kind of like a, I guess some people might call it a warm-up fight. I don't think you ask Matt Heim. I don't think he thinks it's a warm-up fight. I think Matt Heim is always looking for the win. He's got a lot of experience. Pat's only got two fights, and Matt's brought his weight down. He seems to be in shape. He's getting ready to take a boxing fight, and that card got canceled, so he's jumped in to fight Pat. Tough fight in front of him, obviously. Pat's a tough guy.
I do have a question for you, Pete, because we're short on time tonight. We're trying to get through so many guys. But I noticed there was an Eric Norris on the fight, fighting Akitoshi Hiraba. Didn't Akitoshi fight another Norris, and is that his brother on the last ECC card?
Yes, actually. He fought his little brother. And this is a tough fight for Akitoshi. Akitoshi had his hands full with the little brother, who's tough, tough, tough. Now, apparently, according to the trainer, the big brother is better, and the big brother is bigger.
And wanting some revenge for his little brother's loss, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. So Akitoshi's actually going up a weight class. I mean, we're a little concerned about that. Akitoshi walks around at about 155, 157. He's taking this fight at 155 against the bigger brother. Boy, it's a tough fight for Akitoshi, but Akitoshi did such an amazing job in that first fight, you know, surviving a tough, tough first round, coming back and taking the second round and just totally dominating the third round. So this will be an opportunity for the big brother to get some revenge. I mean, they've seen Akitoshi. They know his game now. tough fight for Akitoshi.
Super intriguing fight. Rick Doyle nicknamed Akitoshi the Canadian Samurai after his last fight, and he's going to have his hands full to retain that title in this fight coming up.
I mean, win or lose, he's still the Canadian Samurai, in my opinion, but this is a tough fight for him.
Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot, Peter. Thanks for joining us. We don't have time to break down the entire card, but we'll definitely pump out as much stuff on the Facebook page as we can. And good luck with the event. And thanks again for everything you do putting on these cards. I didn't even give Josh Walker an opportunity to ask you a question, but we're going to have to get moving. Josh is hiding out in Toronto, putting on weight away from your cardio workouts, he said.
He's going to try the 135. He's going to go in this tournament.
Josh? You just got the call. Brother, you better get on the treadmill.
I'll start my diet.
Get off the donuts and on the treadmill.
All right, buddy. See you soon, Pete.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Moving right along the train, Josh, I'm going to turn this guest over to you for most of the grilling because I just don't think it's fair for me to start digging into his head. Up next, not as the host of the BS show, Mr. Rick Trash Canyon Doyle, we have professional mixed martial artist and fighter on ECC 21 fighting Jeff Black, Mr. Rick Doyle. Josh, take it away.
Hey, Rick, how you doing? Have you got any cheeseburgers in your belly yet? I hear this fight's moved up a weight class.
How you doing, buddy? How's Toronto treating you?
I don't know. I'd rather be, in Titans beating you.
I hear you, brother.
But, I'm doing okay.
Good, man, good.
So,
see how he turned that around on you there?
Yeah, real quick.
Got to watch out.
What do you do? Anyway, so... a new opponent and same game plan, I assume. Just keep getting better, Rick. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks very much to you and Boyd to give me this opportunity to come on the show here tonight. I really do appreciate it. As you know, Josh, I had a different opponent lined up for this fight. It was supposed to be Judo John Williams and. That didn't happen, so Jeff Black has stepped in apparently this week, and we've signed the contract. It's a done deal. So basically, I think at this point it was for me just to continue improving. I think there is going to be a little different game plan for Jeff versus what we were going to do. But, for me personally, it's just to improve as much as I can on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah, there's going to be a huge difference. I mean, you take someone who's a yeah. How do you feel with
that? Oh, Darren, I don't know. I don't know if you guys can hear Josh, but I've lost him.
Yeah, I think he cut out on me there.
Oh, yeah. Crap. I think the question that he was going to hit on was Judo John, despite the name Judo John, was actually an accomplished grappler. I believe he got... he just got belted, perhaps with his brown belt even, and obviously he was going to have a sort of a takedown submission type approach. And for those of us who've had an opportunity to watch Jeff Black over the years, they know he's a sprawl and brawl type kid who just wants to get in there and scrap. So I'm assuming you guys will be tailoring your training to that. Now, not to ask you to give your game plan away completely, Rick, but sort of where's your head going into this fight?
Oh, I'll give you my game plan 100%, man. I have nothing to hide. I mean, I think my head is incredibly focused right now. I think I'm going to come out of this camp, although it's been an extremely difficult camp for me just because of the duration. I'm going to come out of this camp the best MMA fighter I have been to date and probably the best person I've been to date. And I'm extremely excited over it. As far as my game plan goes, Boyd, yes, obviously it's changed a little bit with John Williams. We all knew his grappling ability, so he probably would have looked for the takedown right off the bat. So we did a lot of work there to fight off that takedown and then, you know, to get back to my feet. So it's no secret as far as my game plan goes. I hit like a goddamn jackhammer, so if I hit you, I'm going to put you in the middle of next week. So, you know, I'm going to step into that cage, and if he wants to stand toe-to-toe with me, then, you know, I got a pretty good chin. I'll put mine out there, and we'll bang, you know. But I'm willing to go anywhere with this thing, you know. When I walk into that gym every day for my training camp, you know, it's trying to perfect what I'm, you know, what I'm going to experience in that cage. So I'm prepared to go anywhere with this guy. You know, I hear nothing but great things about the guy. It's not personal, but when I step in there, I'm going to beat the fucking shit out of him. And, you know, I want people to know that I've earned my place in that cage, and I want to show them how much I've progressed and, what, you know, where I'm going to go.
Skippy, you just hit me up on Facebook. You want to jump in there on that?
Help! It would help if I unmuted the board because I had me muted. I was
There you go.
Look, Rick, you know, I've said it to you. I've said it publicly. You're somebody I look up to. I consider a hero. I want to know, as knowing you as well as I do, there's two sides to Rick. We're seeing fight side. Is it easy for you to step away from the fun-loving, goofy character that you are to it's game time, or is that a hard transition for you to do?
No, it's not hard at all, Skip, because I enjoy combat. You know, I've taken fights before. You know, so this whole mixed martial arts game is new to me. But, you know, if you want me to throw down at any time, you know, in the past, I've been there for it. So not necessarily in the most positive ways, but, you know, being involved in mixed martial arts has helped focus that and make a better person. So, to switch into that mode to answer your question, not at all. To me, it's very simple. I'm going to get paid to step in front of a cage and fight another individual. I want that money, and I'm going to take that money, and I'm going to do everything in the world to beat the living hell out of the guy across the cage from me. It's absolutely as simple as that. That money, you know, I want that money in my pocket worse than he wants it. And, you know, I'm certainly going to fight that way.
Now, obviously, you know, you keep progressing. Anybody who knows and has watched you through the show and after the show and through the fights and the training, you keep progressing. Do you feel today that you're at the best you've been at any camp so far?
Yes, absolutely. You know, my first fight, you know, we just came off the Cubicle to the Cage television show. That was about 16 months of intense training. And my body, quite frankly, was beaten to a pulp, you know, by the end of that. And then I had a 26-pound weight cut on 24 hours' notice for my fight. I'm not making excuses. I don't think the end result would have been any differently. But, you know, in my second fight, again, very short notice against a top-level guy, and another huge weight cut. This one, I've had a very thorough training camp that I've dedicated every ounce or every waking moment of my life to getting better. So physically, you know, to keep myself healthy has been the most difficult thing. But my mind has been very focused. To try to improve on my weaknesses and turn them into my strengths, and I believe my skills are progressing every day. You know, Skip.
Well, Rick, I want to. Sorry, go ahead, Rick.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, I was born off of a TV reality series, and I have no shame with that whatsoever. It's one of my proudest moments. But the big thing for me to accomplish now is that I deserve to be in that cage now. That, you know, you all cut me a little slack because, you know, 1 year of training and I stepped in and I did it. But now have I progressed? Have I progressed to a level that I deserve to be in there? And that's the kind of respect that I'm looking for at this point.
Well, I think Rick, you deserve to be in there.
Sorry, Rick, I'm really, really glad you said that because that's exactly what I wanted to bring up is the fact that, we did a Cubicle to the Cage television show, and Josh Walker, who's my guest host tonight, was a part of that as well. And a lot of us looked at that experiment as sort of a closed loop, and when it was over, we were done. But you're a type of guy that you took a look at what happened over the course of that show, and you weren't satisfied. You weren't satisfied with the challenge, the way that you stood up to the challenge that you took, and you wanted to take it even further than the rest of us. And I have so much respect and admiration for you for taking that on, because a lot of people maybe would be on the show because they wanted people to watch or they thought there was going to be money involved. And here it is, 2 years past the show, that's all now well behind you, and you're still pursuing the goal and you're still doing the work, whether it be the work in the gym or the work on your mind or the work on your diet or the work on your whole perspective on life. And, man, you're like Skippy said, man, you're my hero. I just love it, and I wish you nothing but the best on the 26th, brother.
Well,
amen.
I appreciate that very much, Boyd, and you know, all jokes aside, you were a very big part of that, as you know, and you've been very helpful with me through this whole thing. And, you know, I've always said if you take a piece of coal and you press on it hard enough, long enough, it eventually it turns into a diamond. And there's nothing I can do about my age. I'm an old man. I'm 43. But I feel just like a guy that's 18 or 19, walking into the gym for the first time. And as long as I can keep myself athletic and healthy and competitive, mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to improve and put my mark on this game.
Yeah, Rick, you know, even for me, I haven't been around for this whole camp, but I think coming in and out in the last four of this camp, I think I've seen you improve more with this camp than I have the rest of the time that I've known you, like, and dedication-wise and just your whole mental approach to this fight has been really impressive, and I've definitely seen the most improvement in you in the last couple of months than I've ever seen. It's awesome to see.
Well, thanks, Josh. I mean, you know, it's almost like everything began to align, and I said, if this is the end of the road for Rick, if this is my last fight, I don't want any regrets, and I don't want any stones unturned. So I sat down and I really spelled out, okay, exactly what do I need to do? And I don't want to cut any corners. So I wanted to have the best food and the best sleep and the best training. And I wanted to have all those things. I didn't want any regrets regardless of how this whole thing turns out. So, you know, you get the sight set and you just go after it and, you don't look back.
Yeah, man, that's
awesome
exactly
stuff, brother.
That's how you win.
Thanks a lot, man. We won't take any more of your time, Rick. You go. We know you're fighting at 55, so you can have a good meal tonight, and you get plenty of rest and get back in the gym, and we'll all be rooting for you on the 26th, brother.
Well, I appreciate that. Boyd, if you have the spare of the time, could I just shout out a thank you to my sponsors? Because
you go right ahead.
For the support that I got from these people, I really couldn't have got through this camp.
Give her.
Okay, so I just like to put a thanks out to, of course, Draco Impact Sports for all of their support, and, of course, the BS Show for all the support. Jerome at Wilson's Titanium, Wade at Repo Sales, Paul with Beaton's Towing, Chris with Westside Charlie's, Danny with Full Potential Health and Wellness, Robbie with Nova Physiotherapy, Kent with Shadow Security, and I also had three pro wrestling companies that I've worked for in the past that have stepped to the plate and supported my dreams. There was Twin City Wrestling, Ultimate Championship Wrestling, and Wrestle Center, and Palooka's Gym as well has helped me out and through this training camp. And last but not least, of course, my coach, Professor Martel, and all the Team Titans that have helped me prepare for this. So thank you very much, guys. I appreciate the time.
Good stuff, Rick. You have a fantastic end to your camp, and good luck on the 26th.
Thank you.
Take care, brother. There you go, boys. That's how you do an interview. Josh, you can probably attest more than anybody because you're a fighter who certainly at the beginning of meeting Rick, we're at a level far superior to him, and you've had an opportunity to kind of grind against him and to be the pressure that's pressing on the coal that he referenced to as he worked in the gym. But, I mean, that guy really has given an honest effort in becoming a mixed martial artist, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely this last camp. I mean, Rick's a stubborn guy, as you're aware. And sometimes getting him to improve in certain ways is tricky. And Peter must have done something differently, because I came back from my last 6 weeks from Toronto, and Rick looked completely different. Like, we started sparring it, and it was not the exact same Rick that I had left. You know, he's at the gym all the time. He's just a new level of dedication, I think. And he really, his approach to this fight is, as he said, I think it truly is, and he's been making some good improvements.
Absolutely. For our audience listening to the show who haven't had an opportunity yet, if you go on the internet and you do some searching around, you just might find a little program called Cubicle to the Cage. And if you haven't seen that, you can get a real good look into Rick's journey, or at least the early stages of it. And if you're anywhere near Halifax on July 26th, get your ass into a seat at the Olympia Hall in Halifax and see how that turns out for him in his next fight. I'm super excited. We have in the queue right now Josh, a man that you know quite well, and a man that I said earlier, Mike Mallott, teased one time as the absolute best one-on-one fighter in Canada. I have from, I do believe, Truro, Nova Scotia, Mr. Pat Carroll. Welcome to the BS show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Pat? Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime.
Pat, do me a favor, because we haven't had you on the show before, and I'm joined tonight by Josh Walker, who called in from Toronto. Tell us a little bit about your combat sports, mixed martial arts journey. Sort of, where are you from, how old are you, and how did you get into martial arts?
I'm 24 years old, turning 25 a couple days after the next ECC care. But... I got started in MMA back when I was 16 years old. I started training kickboxing, and then I started competing, and I started doing jiu-jitsu soon after that, and then it just kind of evolved from there.
And how did you connect with Peter Martel and Titans?
I had been training, kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, MMA for a few years. I had a lot of experience and stuff, but I wanted to get out there and it really see what was out there in Nova Scotia. So, and I knew the go-to spot was Titans MMA. So, about 3 years ago, I went up to Palooka's gym. And just started training with those guys, man, and I was in ever since.
You made a big connection with two other rising fighters on the East Coast, Gavin Tucker and Mike Mallott. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, those guys are my brothers, man. When I started going down to Halifax to train, I just became real good friends with those guys, and we were just, three young guys who really had the goal to, take MMA as far as we could take it. And we train hard. We're best friends outside the gym, and we just push each other to a whole different level. Every single training session.
Of all the fighters that I know and have followed here on the East Coast, everybody has fights that fall through. Everybody has hard luck with thinking they have an opponent and then the opponent gets swished, maybe lose an opponent at the last minute. But absolutely nobody has the shitty luck that you have. In your last fight, you actually lost your opponent as you were getting your hands wrapped. Can you tell me a little bit about that night and about how that played out?
I've even as an amateur, man, I had terrible luck. I had, my first two amateur MMA fights were I did full training camps. They were canceled on one was 5 days notice, one was like a week's notice. Like, it's just been some shitty luck from the start. But by far, back in October, when I was supposed to fight Vanya Vojvodic, that was by far, the worst one, you know. You're getting your hands taped up, you know. You're done. You know, I had, you know, a super long training camp. You know, I was in great shape, and then Mickey Marshall was my striking coach. He was taping my hands. I get a tap on the shoulder from Mickey McDonald, and he says, "Carroll, fight's off." And I was, you know, I was just, man, everything just shut down. And it was tough. It was tough coming back from that, man. I went into a little bit of a depression afterwards. Like, I don't know. I was kind of convinced that I wasn't gonna fight anymore. I just didn't know if I could do it. You know, like, not everyone knows what really goes into a training camp, but it's mentally and physically grueling every single day. And, you know, to do that for 2 or 3 months and get to that level and then have everything ripped from underneath you, a half hour before the fight, it's just devastating.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, you're not a guy who walks in at his natural weight, if I could put it that way. I mean, you are a guy who cuts a tremendous amount of weight by amateur or regional MMA standards. I mean, what's the heaviest that you've walked around at in the past couple of years?
In the past couple of years, Christmas time, I usually pop up, 215 pounds or so. But
did you fight at what weight class, remind me?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we know that answer yet. I did my
first.
Yeah,
but typically what weight class do you? Typically, what weight class do you weigh?
So my last fight was at 155 pounds.
Yeah, so for anybody who might have missed that, turkey dinner, 215 fights at 155. Pat is an exceptionally dedicated individual who really does put in the commitment over training camp and then basically eats himself into a stupor until the next fight camp starts. Is that a pretty accurate assessment?
Yeah, you know, like, it's not even, yeah, it's just, I don't know, my body's a little bit different than your average person. Like, when I was 16 years old, I weighed 300 pounds, and I was always a fat kid growing up, and I've just always put on weight easily. But even after, like, the last camp there that I did, when I was supposed to fight Vanya, I made 170, and from the night of the fight, I was about 182 pounds. But, you know, after, when I weighed myself Monday morning, I was off Saturday, didn't train Sunday. You know, I wake up that morning ready at 200 pounds again. Like, it's just, my body just always goes back there.
It's a terrifying thing to witness. I saw it one time. Actually, I was doing a sample weight cut. We were still on the Kemp Road Titans. And you had a fight fall through, or a card got canceled, I think is what it was. And I saw you 2 days later, and I said, that guy looks like he's related to Pat Carroll.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was Pat Carroll, just about 25 pounds heavier in 5 days.
Yeah, you never know, man. You never know what version of me you're going to get.
Josh, I'm going to ask you to jump in here because you're a dude who's had an opportunity to train with Pat quite a bit. And you're also somebody who's quite aware of his opponent, who's somebody that doesn't have a stellar record, but he's definitely somebody who always, always, always comes to fight.
Yeah, actually, I don't think I know Pat quite as well as you assume I do. I mean, by the time I came in, that's right when Pat's last fight fell through, and we've had an opportunity to train together a few times, and I've seen him outside of the fight a few times, but... Yeah, the few times we have trained together, it was interesting for me. It's kind of like trying to grapple with a gorilla. but yeah, as far as this fight goes, I know Matt fairly well. He's asked me to fight him 3 times,
that's probably not a wise fight.
No, I don't see the reason why I would fight Matt, and I don't see the reason why he was asking me. And he's a bigger guy, and I don't think he would win anyways. But As far as, Pat, did you, was this a fight you've had planned for quite a while, or was this more of a last minute type fight for you?
What's that?
I said, was this, have you been, having a full camp for this fight, or was this kind of more of a last minute opportunity that you jumped on for this card?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, late last week there, our good buddy Gavin Tucker called me up. He woke me up and he's like, yeah, what are you doing July 26th? I said, going to the fights. And he said, you want to fight Matt Heim? And I said, sure. Yeah, sounds like a pretty good time. So, yeah, that's what's going on.
Well,
this is where Rick Doyle
back,
would
man.
Jump
he's
in and go, I like what I'm hearing, guys who just want to fight.
I'm excited to see you back. Do you have plans to use this and be momentum and come at it seriously again for the rest of the year, maybe?
Yeah, I do. I want to take this sport as far as I can take it. After I win this fight, definitely looking at just getting right back in the gym and just keep on improving and keep on fighting.
Well, Matt, sorry, Pat, if there's one thing I can say is there's no way short of a bus accident that's going to stop Matt Heim from showing up that night, because that guy just loves to fight, and he will show up under any circumstances and in any condition to fight. That's one thing that I love about that kid. So good on him for taking the fight, because the side effect of you having missed so many fights over the past couple of years is all you have done month after month for the past 2-3 years is get better and better and better. And I've had the good fortune of having you as an instructor and having you as a training partner and seeing what you can do. And good on Matt for taking the fight. I definitely think the fight is in your favor. I wish you nothing but the best on the 26th, brother.
Thanks a lot, Boyd. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Definitely give a shout-out to any sponsors or supporters or family or friends that you want to thank for supporting you.
Yeah, I definitely love to give a shout-out to my gym here in Truro, Marmac Athletics. It's owned by Mickey Marshall, who is, he's probably the most decorated kickboxer to ever come out of Nova Scotia. He's been to the World Championships twice, and he's, come home with one silver medal and one bronze medal. So, and we've got just a ton of great guys. We got Scott Noss and Dan Vanderlins and Cody Glode, who are all going to be fighting on this next ECC card and amateur fights as well. And, they're all training hard. They're looking awesome, and, I can't wait to see it.
Thanks a lot.
I'd also like to give a shout out to a couple of my sponsors. First, Terry's Tire in Truro, Nova Scotia, and HAF Skate and Tattoo in Truro and the Glasgow.
Good stuff, man. Thanks so much for joining us, Pat. Good luck and congratulations on getting your career back on track and getting back in the cage.
Thanks, buddy. I also got to thank all my boys up at Titans MMA. I haven't done a lot of my camp up there for this one, but I'm going to be moving down to Halifax at the end of this month, and I'm excited to train with those boys full time. But I've spent a lot of my time the last 3 years training up there with Peter Martel and Mike Malott and Gavin Tucker and all the amazing fighters and athletes up there, and I can't thank them enough.
Awesome, man. Let us know what's next for you, and we'll have you back on the show. Take care.
Okay, sounds good, boys. Have a good night.
Take care.
Hi, Pat.
Josh, he's one of the absolute sweetest guys you will ever meet in the sport, but an absolutely terrifying physical specimen as well.
Oh, it's insane. It's the first few times I grappled with him, he literally just picked me up and threw me across the room. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that he cuts that weight so effortlessly is just terrifying and baffling to me. And we got to he went on a trip that I made to Henzo Gracie's in Manhattan, And it was really, really eye-opening and impressive to watch him and Gavin and Mike roll into the jiu-jitsu class at Henzo's in New York and to look completely at home and to look completely comfortable grappling with guys who were belted the same or above them in that environment as a white belt who knew absolutely next to nothing. For me to stand back and watch those guys just gave me such a confidence to know that what we're doing here in Atlantic Canada and what we're doing in Canada, period, can be held up to an international standard to the level of going to a Henzo Gracie Academy and feeling like you belonged. It was very impressive.
Yeah, it's fantastic to have all this talent in this little city of Halifax.
Well, stepping quite a bit outside this little city of Halifax and making a little trip to somewhere you're not far from, I want to say hi to, I guess, right now, Mr. Lyndon Whitlock, who I believe is in queue. Lyndon, welcome to the BS show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going fantastic, sir. We've been buzzing through just a shit ton of guys tonight who are going to be participating on and fighting in the card in Halifax on July 26th. We had your training partner, Adrian Woolley, on the show last week. Fantastic interview with him. Just so excited to see him come down to Halifax and fight Chris Kalides. But perhaps more so, super excited to see you come and take on this dog out of Cape Breton, Michael Spenline. That guy's a stud, and I think you are the perfect guy to be the stone that guy breaks himself against as he moves up in his career. How do you feel about the fight?
Mike's a good fighter. I think he's taken a big step up in competition here, and he's really going to have to test himself on the 26th.
Absolutely, he is. I'm not gonna speak for Gavin Tucker. I would never presume to do that. But I have had conversations in the past with Gavin, and he was so impressed with your speed and your power when you fought. I watched an interview just recently when I was researching for the show, actually, of Gavin just after your fight with him. And, I mean, he was marked up so much. And, I mean, I'm a big fan of Gavin Tucker. I know him quite well. I follow his career because I'm from the East Coast. And I was just so impressed what you were able to do with him, especially in the first couple of rounds of that fight. And if you've improved, as I imagine you have, since that fight, you must be fairly confident going into this fight with your stand-up.
I'm confident in any fight I go into. Gavin was a tough fight. Gavin's a great athlete, and he had a great night that night. But, you know, I've had a year off between that fight with Gavin and Ryan Connor, and I spent the whole time in the gym. I was working, getting my stand-up better, my jiu-jitsu and everything better. So, yeah, I'm very confident for this fight with Michael, but he's no joke. I'm not sleeping on him.
No, and we discussed this earlier. Ryan's the kind of guy that, and Peter Martel, the promoter himself, said he didn't have any kind of a growing period. He just kind of, his MMA career has just been meteoric. He just kind of jumping from one up. But the jump from his previous opponent to you, I think, is definitely the most substantial of his career. Is that something that you're going to try to take advantage of early in the fight, or do you have a more conservative approach because you're the veteran?
It's so hard to say. The fight's developed so funny when you're in there. Like, so much stuff goes on. But this is all I can tell you. I can tell you for sure, I've been Mike before. I've been that guy in his shoes. I've had that anxiety of going into a guy that, you know, I've never stepped in a guy with his skill set. Michael's never going to step in there with a guy with my skill set. I've been in there with a guy against Michael's skill set, so this is not new territory for me. So, you know, I'm just going to take the fight as it comes, but like I said, I'm very confident.
I'm not one bit... Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
No, I was just thinking. So, like, your last fight there, I don't know if you talked to Lyndon since his last fight, but that was your first fight at 35. How did you find that weight cut and find that fighting at this weight?
The weight cut was the same as 45, just more preparation going into it. I had to be a little stricter with the diet and watch what I was eating. But the weight cut went fine. Me missing weight at 0.5 had nothing to do with the weight cut itself. I thought I was on weight on my scale, and I turned out I wasn't. So, you know, I was kind of a bit of a rookie mistake on my part, but I thought I would have the hour at least to cut the extra pound.
Wait a minute. Now, let me jump in here because you're tweaking something in my memory now, because I was actually quite busy with my day job when your fight was – when the weigh-ins and stuff was going on, and I didn't make it up there. But there was a situation where you did not – you were not given an extra hour to make weight after the official initial weigh-in. Is that correct?
Yes.
I do remember that, and that caused quite a stir, and I talked about it quite a bit with Peter Martel. I don't think I talked about it specifically with the commission, but it was something I wanted to follow up with those guys on, because I agree with you that that was an oversight, and the fact that you could have weighed in early should have either A, been made aware, you should have been made aware of that, or B, they should have allowed the extra hour. I'm 100% in agreement with you on that, and I remember thinking that at the time as well.
Everybody down there was very supportive of the commission, I think, is just a little unaware of some of the rules maybe. But the thing is, we're stuck down in Halifax, no ride, no transportation. I really don't know the city too well. It's hard for me to make my way over to the scale, make sure I'm on weight, and then go back. So the extra hour would be a big... Sorry,
you know what? That's an absolutely fantastic point, and it's something that doesn't really apply to in the cage fighting or training in the gym or whatever, but on this show, one thing we try to do is really give people a behind-the-scenes look on what it takes to be a mixed martial artist and to compete. And coming into a new city definitely does have its challenges. Is there anything that you're doing in preparation for this fight to make sure that you don't have those challenges this time?
No, we'll make sure me and Wooly will both be down there. We'll have a lot of extra bodies laying around. We'll send somebody to check the scale. But besides that, I've been down to Halifax. This will be my third trip. I like being the guy from out of town. I like being the bad guy. It's fun to me. So, yeah, there's nothing really we need to change.
Well, that's fantastic. I know one thing that you don't do is get emotionally caught up in your fights. I've been following your career for long enough to know that this really is a sport for you, and not a WWE show, or not something that's fueled by any kind of emotion. You're trying to be the best athlete that you can, and everything else is really just leading up to that. Is that correct? Is that how you approach these fights?
Absolutely. The only emotion I have to a fight is this guy standing in the way of my dreams and my aspirations in this sport. I have no problems with any of the guys I've ever fought, but when I get in there, I'm going to do anything to hurt them and try to finish this fight. But it's not personal by any means.
And is your drop to 135 now sort of a rejuvenation for you? I don't think you'd ever lost two fights in a row in your career before making the drop to 35. Do you have kind of a momentum inside of you, even though it's only one win off of that? Do you have momentum that you feel now that you have a new home at 35 and you feel confident that this is where you really can make that run?
Yeah, funny you say that, because when we took the fight against Ryan Connor, I felt no stress, no pressure. I felt like it was a clean slate. It would have changed. If I fought at 45, I would have felt a lot more pressure because I was down two at 45. But yeah, for whatever reason, it changed my mentality going down. It was a clean slate. I figured I thought I belonged there. I figured I could handle the best in Canada at 135. So, yeah, I actually feel like things are going in my direction and things are on the up and up.
Well, that's fantastic, man. That's very exciting for us to hear, because you not only went three rounds in that fight, but you seemed to get stronger as that fight went on, and that bodes very well for your performance at 135. And we've discussed this with Michael Spenline, because he's a local guy, on a number of occasions on the show, but he gets a lot of it's not a criticism, but he gets a little bit of doubt because he's popped on the scene so quickly, and everyone keeps saying, oh, this kid's not the real deal. Let's see how he does against the next guy, the next guy, the next guy. But, I mean, in his fight against you, he really has an opportunity to come up against somebody who really is at the top of the Canadian food chain. And we're so grateful that you're coming down to do that, and we're super excited to see you fight on the 26th.
Well, I appreciate that. I love coming down to Halifax. The fans are great. The players are great. ECC puts on a great event, and it's always a good time.
Awesome, brother. You say hi to Adrian when you get back to the gym, and good luck to you guys. Have a safe and awesome camp, and best of luck on the 26th.
Will do, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks
so much, brother. Take care.
I'll see you later this week, buddy.
Okay, take care, guys.
Josh is going to go snooping over at Iron Tiger Muay Thai.
I'll probably actually go get an ass beating over it. Parabellum. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I'm pretty sure there's one or two of those over there for you as well.
Yeah.
So are you straight up legit? You're going to get over there and perhaps even throw on the gear and train with those guys a little bit?
Yeah, Lennon invited me over to some of the fighters' classes and that, and I know that Mike Malott trains there when he's here at home in Ontario. So I've talked to both Lennon and Mike, and yeah, I'm going to head down there while I'm here.
Okay, Josh,
let
me ask you a question I love to ask fighters that come on my show. If you could pick one city, it doesn't matter the opponent, doesn't matter the venue, doesn't matter the league, one city in the world to have a fight in, what city would you like to fight in? Or you could say country.
Oh, man. That's hard to say. I don't know. Like, all my favorite fights have been in Halifax for myself, so.
Well, you could say Halifax. There's nothing wrong with that. I was waiting to see if maybe you would say, like, Budokan or Rio or, you know, Hamburg or, you know, Minsk or, you know, some one of these famous, you know, MMA meccas for people to fight in. So, you know, I just like to see, you know, where people's brains are.
You know what, Skippy? I'm gonna jump in on Josh here on this one because I've been thinking about that recently. We're about to take a hiatus from the BS show. I'm going to take the summer off and try to enjoy some time with family and friends and do some traveling and whatnot. And I've been thinking about the local MMA scene and the guys that I've had an opportunity to meet over the last year or so. And I don't think there's very few of them that would say Budokan, that would say Vegas, that would say Toronto with 60,000 fans. I think most of the regional fighters that you meet would say, I would like to fight in front of my hometown because I would like to reward the people who have supported me and the people who have rooted for me and the people who have trained with me. And those are the people who are going to be able to come to a show in my hometown because that's what local MMA is all about.
I'm going to have to, you know, that's where my mind went. Would be like, you know, the people I've trained with and I've been lucky to, in Halifax, train at so many of the different gyms and get to know so many people in the scene and just the people of that city that even though I'm not born and from Halifax, I think I've really connected with this city more than any other place that I've been. So if I was to have a great big fight, I think I'd just want to raid in Halifax.
Well, that's I've known quite a few fighters that we've interviewed out of Canada and some of the provinces, especially a couple of years ago, who said they would love to fight, you know, because it was not legal there at the time where they lived. So, you know, it's always interesting to see, and it's even more interesting to hear Boyd's, you know, take on it that a lot of the guys that would probably want to, you know, showcase themselves, you know, at home and for their fans. So I love it. I want to tell you, Josh, you did a good job tonight for a first-timer, man. Not bad, brother. Not bad at all.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Josh. You stepped up. You bailed me out. You filled Rick's shoes. It's awesome. You got to get back down here before his fight. Do some more of those double legs on him.
Yeah, I will. I'll get him.
Well, Skippy, thanks a lot, man. This was a bit of a rapid-fire show. It meant a lot more work in the background for you, getting all those guests lined up and everything, and a little bit of technical difficulty we had with Peter at the beginning. But as we go into a little bit of a hiatus over the summer, I just want to say, number one, thanks for absolutely everything you, Carl, all the guys at Madhouse do to promote local, regional mixed martial arts. And congratulations on buying the streaming website and all the work that you're going to be streaming and promoting local and regional mixed martial arts on a global scale now that we're going to have the opportunity to get that out there over the web. For anybody who missed the beginning of the show, you should totally set that up and pitch it one more time because I can't overstate how important that's going to be. It's very easy for somebody to turn on their Fox News or whatever and know that there's a UFC coming up, but it's not always so easy for somebody to know exactly where to go and get their local and regional mixed martial arts promotions globally. But you guys are about to change that, brother.
Yeah, for real, MMAMadhouse.com, you know, your world leader for local MMA, whether it's, you know, in Halifax or whether it's, you know, in Helsinki or in South Africa or Brazil. Last night we interviewed Jungle Fight fighters from Brazil. Look, well, that's what we're about. You guys want to go to Madhouse or Madhouse Global Combat Network, you know, follow us. We're going to show you guys like Josh and things like Boyd's Cubicle to the Cage and introduce you to great promoters and great fighters and give you guys a place to find it and fighters and promoters to showcase what they have. And that's what it's about. I understand Zuffa is an ultimate goal for a lot of fighters, but it's not for every fighter. And there's more in this world than just one organization. There are thousands. And anybody out there who wants to throw money, I'll throw one right back at you real quick. Kenny Gardner, $200,000 for his title defense at M1. How many people in the UFC are getting that with an 8-5 record? Thank you. Okay. So, Boyd, I love your show. I love that you guys are part of this network. Josh, you guys did a great job tonight, man. I thank you, and I thank all the fans who support you and MMAMadhouse.com.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Skippy. Josh, I'm going to give you just a quick minute to because I really appreciate that you came on as a guest host tonight, but I know at your heart you're a mixed martial artist, and you're somebody that Gavin Tucker said to me quite a while ago, I hope not in confidence because I wouldn't want to leak anything that he thought was private, but he did confide in me that Josh Walker is somebody who's bounced around and had a bit of fun in MMA, but he's somebody who really has found a home at Titans, and he's somebody who really, really has now begun to show his potential as a fighter. And I know those guys at Titans just have so much confidence and excitement in what you're going to be able to do over the next little phase of your career. And I'm just super excited to follow that as well as a fan and as a friend.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I feel that way too. Titans has really brought me in, and Gavin especially, you know, the relationship I have with him as a training partner and as a friend has become so solid that him personally has put so much effort into me and just opened a door for me that I've improved just that so much, and my mental game has improved so much, and after that last fight, being able to pull off when I needed to pull off a win, I did it in about 30 seconds with a broken leg and wasn't tired and had no problem doing it. So I just feel super confident after that last fight, and I think this drop to 35 is going to be big for me. And I'm a little blindsided by Peter's telling me I'm thrown in that tournament. Gavin had mentioned something about that to me too. So I'm excited to get in there and show, you know, where I'm going to be at that time. So it's
good stuff, brother. Well, if that pans out, the next time you're back on the show, it's not going to be as a guest host. It's going to be as somebody as a competitor on probably one of the most touted events coming up internationally, even certainly in Canada in the fall or winter. And Skippy, I know you guys will be all over that if Peter gets this tournament off the ground.
Hey, I tell you right now, once Peter has everything locked down, we're going to change our headers on the websites. We're going to do interviews on every show, from Florida show, the European show, the West Coast show, the Midwest show. We're going to put it everywhere. We're going to put it on your show. We're going to interview fighters. We're going to push press releases. Because this, for me as a fan, is what the sport needs. We need more tournament formats. I believe you would see more exciting matchups that fans want to see, and I believe you would see fighters who are underestimated come out on top and make a name for themselves.
You know what? Have you seen the documentary Fightville about Dustin Poirier?
Yes.
I have not watched that one yet.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Fightville. It was a real behind the scenes before they made the big time kind of documentary. And if Pete gets this thing legit off the ground, if this is going to happen, then I think we need to pull a few guys together, and we need maybe the guys at Firing Box Films or Hemmings House Pictures who sponsor this show, and we really need to do a short documentary that follows the course of this tournament, follow all eight fighters, and really find out sort of where they're coming from and what they have to go through and how that plays out, because, man, that would be just absolutely intriguing television.
I agree. I agree, and obviously you mentioned two phenomenal companies who we know for a fact one of them has done amazing job in the combat sports world with the Cubicle to the Cage product. So I think it's something that definitely needs to be done. I think it's something fans would really dig. Putting Josh into a tournament, okay, let's say he gets in there and You know, there's the arch rival, a guy he's never got to fight who always runs his mouth. Well, they make it to the finals. How exciting would that be as a fan? Or an underdog coming in, and next thing you know, Josh has been through, you know, two easy victories, this underdog, two decision, hard-fought wars, and everybody's like, well, this is Josh is locked up, but it turns out to be a beautiful war that he, Josh, wins on a split decision. That would excite fans like you've never seen. And I think...
You're winning me over?
I think I'd be the underdog.
You're winning me over?
You know, to me that's exciting, and that's what is so great about a tournament, because you cannot with a tournament say it was a setup, it was a can fight, it was an easy go, because you can't set up that many fights. It's impossible. You're not going to find that many fighters to take a dive. It's just never going to happen.
You're winning me over, brother. And if it happens, I'm going to have my ass in a seat watching it. I can guarantee it.
I'll fly up for that one.
Oh, baby. I'll tell Mr. Doyle to keep a seat warm in his Camaro.
Oh,
that's all good
cool.
stuff for that.
You
okay,
want to wrap
before
up,
we get out of here. Yeah, before we get out of here, I just want to, because we're going to take a little break here now going into the summer, I definitely want to give a big, big, big thanks to our sponsors for the show, Acadian Fish and Chips, Agro Photography, Draco, Impact Sports, Farmbox Films, Reposales.ca. Check those guys out. They got some awesome vehicles out there available right now. Mr. Jack Cameron, mortgage specialist, showing you the way home in both mortgage dealings and judo. Hemmings House Pictures, always working on cool and interesting projects. Go check those guys out. And Wilson Titanium and Jerome Wilson, supporting local mixed martial arts in the Halifax region every single time that it happens. Can't thank those guys enough for the support that they've given us for this show. Josh, thanks for guys like yourself. Number one, being a mixed martial arts fan and somebody that we can bounce ideas off. And number two, being an athlete who's in the gym every single day, pushing it to get better and make their training partners better. It's made me a better person to watch what you guys are doing, and to have had a small period of time in that world has changed my life, man. Thanks.
Well, it's been great getting to know you, boys, and it's fun having you in the gym too, man. I think what you're doing with this show and with Cubicle and all this media is really going to help. This gift's going to give right back to all of us, and we all appreciate it.
Awesome, brother. Skippy, as you know, every week, that's enough BS for one night.
Welcome to the BS Show. Are you ready to shoot the... The BS Show would like to thank their sponsors. Jack Cameron, accredited mortgage professional. Jack can show you the way home. Draco Impact Sports, providing top-quality combat sport equipment tested and used by all levels of athletes. Dominate your world. Reposales.ca, specializing in vehicle and equipment recovery, liquidation, and sales. Hemmings House Pictures, the global movement media makers, helping tell your brand story to the world and accelerate the momentum of your movement. Farmbox Films, capturing stories the way you want to remember them.